Could you build a business that's better for our planet? That's what I have set out to answer. Hi, I'm Marco Pimentel, marketing expert and entrepreneur and host of the podcast, Someone Like You. I become fascinated in finding creative climate solutions in business, and on the podcast, I break down how founders and CEOs are building climate-friendly business solutions that are opportunities for growth while being better for the planet. I wanted to take a second to tell you about our Season 2 sponsor, Springwise. Springwise is the global ESG innovation platform that offers its readers early access to the ideas transforming our world. I actually started using Springwise probably 10 years ago to review innovative startup ideas, and I've been a fan ever since. There are three new stories on the site every weekday featuring solutions to some of the biggest challenges we face as a global community. You'll find innovations in climate tech, renewable energy, plastic alternatives, the circular economy, and how we can live a more sustainable life. The stories are sourced and written by the Springwise team of journalists and will give you an inspiring take on what's right around the corner, whether you read it to inform your work or simply for a regular dose of optimism. Springwise sets the innovation agenda. The newsletter is free to access, and to sign up, visit springwise.com/newsletter signup.
I want to see a change and I want to be part of that change. So I think that is why this program helped me to understand what I want to do.
Yeah, the main thing that I'm going to take away from this program is definitely to have an intention into what I want to do as a career and have that align with my values to make a social impact.
How do we build solutions for a better planet? Well, I think we educate new young leaders who can create those solutions. As you know, climate change is undeniably one of the most pressing issues facing humanity today, and the urgency to address it has never been greater. With the launch of Pearson College's Climate Action Leadership Diploma Program, a new wave of young leaders is emerging, and they're ready to tackle this global challenge head on. In this episode, we dive deep into the innovative CALD program with our guests Valentina Constantio, Alicia Yang, and Emily Coolidge from Pearson College. We explored how this program is shaping the next generation of climate leaders. The program's curriculum empowers students with the knowledge, skills, and values needed to make a meaningful impact in the fight against climate change, while offering students academic credits and real-world insights into climate leadership. Through direct place-based experiences, guest lectures, and project-based work, students developed essential leadership skills while connecting with Indigenous values and communities. Additionally, the CALD program offers micro-credentials in facilitation, conflict transformation, climate modeling, and more. These certifications enhance the students' ability to drive meaningful change in the world. We uncover the inspiration behind the CALD program, its curriculum highlights, and the transformative experiences of students and educators alike. Get ready to be inspired by the passion and dedication of these young leaders taking the charge for climate action. Emily, Alicia, Valentina, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's great to be here.
This is a bit of a unique show. We are typically talking to founders or business leaders that are in or starting or kind of grown businesses that are focusing on climate. But when we think about climate and climate change, there's often a lot of discussions just around our youth and the future for our youth. And the fact that we are, you know, I have three kids and I think about this all the time. What kind of climate are they going to grow into? And it doesn't feel really great. And I think that the best thing that we can do is we can teach and empower our youth to be leaders into the future so that they can control what their future is, regardless of what has been done in the path. And so today we get to chat about that. And so maybe we can begin, Emily, with you from a Pearson College side, and just understanding a little bit, why did this program take off? What was the underlying basis for it? And what has so far been kind of the results?
Yeah, thanks so much. This program started in 2022. And so we are now in our second year. And really, this came out of a culmination of Pearson College being true to its mission, which is to use education as a force to unite cultures, nations, and countries around the world towards a peace and sustainable future. And that in conjunction with this polycrisis that is happening right now to combat climate change. as well as the emergence of climate change education at the post-secondary level. So we're noticing universities coming up with bachelors of climate change education, bachelors of climate science, even masters of climate action leadership. And so really, we were looking at a way to how do we empower our students who are coming from this deliberately diverse background, who are choosing to find more pathways in their education to be agents of change. And so how do we empower those students to have the skills, the competencies in climate change, so that regardless of what pathway they go into post Pearson, whether that be into the post-secondary, into the job force, they feel equipped that they have the skills that they need to be active leaders in climate action.
And how unique is this when we think just, you know, obviously Pearson is in Victoria, BC, on the west coast of Canada, but this type of programming for this target age group of, I believe, 16 to 19 year olds, how unique is this type of programming really targeting this age?
Yeah, I would say it's incredibly unique. And the more that I engage in conversations with other schools, the idea that we've created a program in which students dedicate 50% of their academic learning towards climate action leadership is incredibly innovative and really is one of its kind. I would say that many schools are working with curricula in which perhaps there's a unit or perhaps there's a semester-based course, or even just an after-school or extracurricular club. And this is really immersing the students in a cohort style of learning so that they're really fully engaged with their community of learners, as I said, dedicating 50% of their academic studies. So we've created a pathway in order for them to be able to do that. And that in itself is really unique and one of its kind. I haven't come across any other educational model for students at this age that are prioritizing the development of skills and knowledge in climate change as much as we are here at Pearson College.
Yeah, it's really incredible, especially when you kind of peel back the program and obviously talking to the students. So maybe that's where we'll go right now is, Alicia, you are from Canada. And so I would love to just understand, how did you find out about this program? What piqued your interest? And why did you want to dedicate 2 years of your life to this at this age?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Montreal, Canada. I actually, we knew the old principal of Pearson College. And so that's how I heard about Pearson. And then when I was applying, they had offered me the Climate Action Leadership Program. And I thought that this was really interesting. And I feel like in my past educational experience, I couldn't find as much meaning to what I was learning. And so this program, I think, gave me the opportunity to actually have a purpose to my learning and to have a positive impact on the world. So that's kind of what really drew me in. My father actually has his own impact investing company called Clear Skies. And I worked for him a little bit as an impact analyst. So I was able to kind of like assess different businesses and analyze their impact, their environmental, social, governance impact, usually the ESG impact. And I think that that kind of really made me passionate about going into climate action. That internship and then also having my family be a part of it kind of made me realize that I wanted to do something more with my life, and I wanted to do something that would benefit the community around me and society. So that's kind of what really drew me into the Climate Action Program.
Valentina, I'd like to ask you the same question. You're visiting and living in Canada from Argentina. And so same question, how did you think about Pearson, but more specifically around this, you know, Climate Action Leadership Diploma, and why did that interest you to join?
So yeah, first I heard about this because my teacher from my old school, one of her daughters went to UBC Tanzania, and I always wanted to live like experience like living in another country and everything, but I was too young to do it. Then when I had the age, I wanted to apply, and the first time that I applied to UWC, Basically, I went to a short course in UBC Mahindra College, and I think there I discovered my passion about climate, because it was a course about like environmental and climate change and all of these things. So when I came back, I was like, I want more of this. And I discovered that there was this program, like the Climate Action Leadership. And I thought like, this is like the perfect program for me. I already finished high school back home, and I was studying environmental sciences at uni. But I feel like this experience, I've been here for like 6 months, and it's been incredible. And part of it is because like, I couldn't find a lot of programs back home about environment, and I feel like now this is like an incredible opportunity.
What's interesting is the both of you have said that being able to do something, either a course or working within an active investment opportunity, just being able to do some work and some education inside climate is really kind of what's sparked it. And I'm sure, you know, understanding climate impact directly on both of you has an impact, but it's being able to have an experience in either education or in some sort of maybe business sense to be able to feel that, oh, these are the things that are going on. Let me try this. Let me learn this. So how do you think, Valentina, the program is helping you get that education and all those that experience that will be able to kind of lead you off in either a career or further schooling?
Well, I think that this program is like more a holistic way of learning. So it's not that you have like different classes that are each of one are like separate, and it's all related to everything. And I think it's kind of like what I was missing back home. It was like I have like math, and then I have biology, and there was no connection between the classes. And here we learn with indigenous perspectives, we learn about how to lead climate action, and it's like everything connected. And I feel like this is something that makes this program unique.
Yeah, and the program speaks a lot about community, which working together and communication. So Alicia, why do you believe that is like so important for dealing with the climate crisis, making sure that, you know, you understand working together and communication?
I think that the way that we're going to actually be able to deal with the climate crisis is by effective communication. I think that the biggest issue that a lot of movements usually have is that they don't communicate well. And so one of the biggest things that we're learning right now is how to bring collective actions into place and how to actually get things going, how to get people involved. And I think that this has to do with empowering other people to actually care about this type of thing. For example, like back home, I used to dance a lot. And so something that I am looking forward to doing, hopefully in the future, is to choreograph around social issues and stuff like that and things that really have meaning. And I think that I'm using art and I'm using dance as a kind of like a messenger, kind of like a method of communication. And I think that in this sense, to get people to really feel something about this crisis and to have it really matter to them is the most effective way that we're going to get people to care about it. And something else that we're learning about right now is emergence. And when we talk about emergence, we talk about how little groups of people have connections and ideas with each other. And then when these groups of people kind of form together, and when you have little groups coming together, it creates a much bigger impact than just the sum of their actions or their impacts already. And so when we think of a bigger impact, that also includes involving other people into the group that's already being formed. And so in that sense, I think that communication is one of the most essential things to working with the climate crisis. And I think that the most effective way of communicating is through empowering other voices and empowering yourself to actually care about this and to fight for it.
Every week on Someone Like You, we dive into stimulating conversations with founders, entrepreneurs, business owners, and the likes who are consciously and successfully creating sustainable business solutions for the long haul. Tune in every week for a new inspiring conversation on leading climate solutions. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please share it. And also, don't forget, subscribe on the platform of your choice and give us a rating and review. When we think about the program and what you had just said, do you get to experience or get to put some of the theoretical, the learnings that you have in place into action during the program in regards to experiences?
Yeah, so we're able to implement, and I think we just actually finished one of our collective actions that we had started in our CALS cohort. It was about basically regulating the amount of energy that we use on campus. And it was about not only just telling people to reduce their energy consumption, but it was also trying to help people understand the connection between energy consumption and the way that we get electricity at Pearson, which is usually through dams and through hydroelectricity, and how that relates to like something like the salmon in the water. And so this kind of goes back to the interconnectivity part that Valentina was talking about, but something that we learn in CALD is about how things are all interdependent. So if we are building dams, then this kind of this also affects the life trajectory of a salmon, and the salmon affects the soil, and the soil affects the trees. And so a lot of what we've been able to do in CALD was actually teach the other students at Pearson about the things that we're learning. And so I think that's an example of one of the collective actions that we've been able to do. Something else is that we had an action week for CALD. And so for a week, we ended up going up to this unprotected territory called the Walbran. And while we were in the Walbran, we did some trail building for a few days. And the reason why trail building is considered a collective action is because if we are able to build trails and have these forests be more accessible for tourists to come, then they'll be able to develop more of a care for the forest and to develop more of a connection to this land, and therefore join the fight to protect this kind of land, because it is an unprotected land. And so, and it's a bunch of old growth trees that are currently there right now. And so if those were to be cut, then they would be able to sequester a lot less carbon from the atmosphere. So that's something else. And something else that we've done is also En-ROADS workshops. En-ROADS is a climate action simulator. And so it basically allows us to see what actions can be implemented and are the most effective to reducing the global emissions or the global temperature increase down to 1.5 degrees Celsius, which is in line with the Paris Agreement. And so what our cohort has done is that we've led En-ROADS workshops for Special Topics Day, which is one of the days that we have at Pearson that we dedicate to a special topic. So this day was dedicated towards climate action. And in the En-ROADS workshop, we were able to have groups of students try to figure out which actions are most important to reduce the temperature down to 1.5, how easy it is, how hard it is, and what the challenges and limitations are towards these actions. So yeah, those are just a few examples of the collective actions that we've been able to do here at Pearson.
Yeah, I'm thinking right now of, and obviously this kind of business sense, and that's what we always typically cover on this show, but this is kind of like a startup where you have your learnings, but then you're also able to take this into the real world and get to actually practice it, see where it works, where it doesn't work, how all these things, and bring in and talk to other people as well. So it's really neat to have both the, you know, the learnings, but then being able to go into the field to do that. And so Valentina, similar question for you, because you had mentioned, you know, coming from Argentina to Canada, getting a bit more of a worldview on environmental reasons. How have these experiences and field trips changed your perception of what's happening in the world?
Well, coming from Argentina, I am now like exploring basically the world, because Pearson College, we have like 90 different nationalities. So you have a little bit of everything here. It's kind of like it changed my perspective in the way that different people can think different. Sometimes we think that everyone thinks as us, and like it's important to have like this different type of view. Sometimes it's because of culture, sometimes it's because of backgrounds. And I think that one of my biggest perspectives is like here at Pearson, like I don't live in an island, and in my CAL cohort, we have some people that live in different islands. And I think these people are like more affected by climate change, because sometimes it's important to think about when we talk about climate change, sometimes we are not suffering from it yet. And like there are other people that are like really suffering from these effects that the world is having. And I think here I understand more about how the people suffer, like especially for like sea level rise, and this bring all the idea that is coming from like climate justice is something that we talk about here a lot in our program. It's about how some countries is like the most polluted countries are not the ones that are like polluting more, you know? And I feel like this is important to think about. And it's something that really changed my perspective, because like back home, I sometimes at school, we talk about climate change and like all of the things, but we never think about like climate justice or like who are the real people that are suffering.
Yeah, it's an incredible perspective, and one that I think, as you said, it's that worldview, and it's the students from different places that you're able to get a different perspective. And it is a huge problem and a big problem. I know that they're trying to address that at COP28 was that injustice. And I think they did some work around some funding to help, because like you said, it's largely the larger countries with the most amount of wealth that are also the ones that, you know, contributed the vast majority of the pollution and still do today. So now kind of going back to just thinking this idea of obviously in learning, there's problems and there's solutions. And so are you honing in on anything specifically around, you know, a specific challenge? You talked about injustice, but is there anything else? And have you thought about potentially solutions and what that could be?
So basically in the program, we talk a lot about like multi-solving, and we look forward to some companies or like some technologies that are not only solving like air pollution, it can also solve like water pollution, or it's like this idea of multi-solving. For me, one of my goal is to solve kind of like water pollution, because thinking about back home, we have, I live near sea, but it's not the main area. And there is an estuary there, and it's really, really polluted. And it's supposed to be a reserve. So it's kind of like this injustice that some companies have access to these areas and can like pollute the rivers and the sea and everything. And it's something that I would really like to change when I finish like my education. It's not about like only affecting the sea, but also it affects us as like community. There's a lot of people suffering for like different diseases, cancer, some respiratory diseases. And it's something that really affects our community. And it's just because there are not enough regulations. And thinking about like multi-solving, I think like I would like to maybe think further and like try to restore this place, because it's a really nice place that is being polluted.
Alicia, same kind of question to you. Lots of challenges in the world and lots of potential solutions. Have you thought about any of those with in relation to the program that you're in?
So one of the things that we talk about in CALD is the difference between climate mitigation and climate adaptation. So climate mitigation being mitigating the effects of climate change, whereas adaptation is more dealing with the effects of climate change and sort of like how our societies can adapt to the different, you know, effects that climate change have on them. And so, yeah, so climate mitigation is more around reducing CO2 emissions, whereas adaptation is more about how to make societies, it's connected with multi-solving, how to make societies adaptable to this. Something else that we've been talking about in our CALD program is also, it's a course about the volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous future. So we, the acronym for that is VUCA. And something that we talk a lot about in this future is the different types of reforms of our society. So a soft reform, a radical reform, and a beyond reform. So a soft reform is kind of making changes within the system to adapt to climate change, so climate adaptation and mitigation changes. And then a radical reform is changing the system completely in a way that would actually work with the climate. And then beyond reform is kind of dismantling all of the ineffective structures within our system and sitting in this uncertainty and having the land speak to us and figure out how to properly restructure our society so that it could be in line with the climate. And I think when we talk about climate issues, we definitely have to dive deeper into where these are stemming from and where these are rooted from. And so in VUCA, we look at the history behind climate change and how our society is, it's a consumerist society, and it's a society that's based on exploiting the land rather than treating the land properly and rather than having a connection with the land as well. And so that's definitely something that I think that our society needs to do before necessarily thinking about implementing solutions right away. I think that there definitely needs to be some sort of sitting in the uncertainty and reflecting on the way that we exploit our land and thinking about the different systems actions and the different ways that we can form a society that is in line. And I think this definitely speaks to our Indigenous Perspectives course that we're learning. And it's not only about how Indigenous, you know, cultures work, but it's also learning about how to live in these values. And so a big thing that we talk about is how to shift the narrative, how to shift the culture, and how to shift the values that we are currently embodying in our society to something that'll be more in connection with the land. And I think that this is not going to only benefit the land and the earth and also like save humanity, but it's also going to heal these deep wounds that we have within ourselves that we've kind of conditioned ourselves to not be connected to this type of land. And so I think it's not necessarily a very specific answer on a solution, but it's definitely something that we definitely need to reflect on before necessarily coming to these solutions.
Yeah, and having that like deep understanding of that background is incredibly important when you do think about how do you have solutions and how does that intertwine. And there is just this one really good example from, I think it was Naomi Klein's book, and it was all around just kind of consumption, was that sometimes a solution just doesn't solve the problem, right? Because we have made lighting, for instance, really, really efficient, and LEDs are great, and they are by and far still way better in terms of efficiency. But then the example there is that where we used to have one light in a room, we now have LEDs, but there'll be six lights in a room. And so, yeah, we have a solution, but the habits and the change and the systems, and this is obviously a very easy level change, has never changed. It's just we wanted more, but we have something that's better. So it's tough.
Yeah.
So how do you think this experience is going to impact your career decisions moving forward?
I think that I'm definitely going to want to choose a career that's going to make an impact. And I think something that also comes from my internship with the impact analysis is that, well, I ended up also looking at the intention of these companies. And that's something that really mattered. So when we're thinking of intention, I want to make sure that whatever career that I do, I have the intention to actually want to make a social impact, and that I kind of keep this integrity within me. And I think that that's something that's super important, because I don't think that it would be possible to do any effective change without integrity, without authenticity. And so I want to stay true to the changes that I want to see in society and the changes that I want to pioneer and lead and make. And I think that my ideal career would actually be to choreograph around, as I said before, choreograph around climate change. And this is definitely something that's going to be a big challenge, considering, you know, the challenges of the and the limitations of the dance industry. And then hopefully I'm also thinking of going into business and then helping businesses also evaluate their impact and their intention and to have them be more aligned with taking care of our planet, but as well as aligned with the values of our community, our social values, and then the other governance aspects and stuff like that. So I think the main thing that I'm going to take away from this program is definitely to have an intention into what I want to do as a career and have that align with my values to make a social impact.
Well, yeah, I think that here I'm more sure that I want to study something related with environment. I am thinking to study environment and also international relationships. I think like now we are living in a more like globalized world, like this like multi-solving and like multilaterally connections with different countries. I think it's really important to the main goal to be like more sustainable. And I think I kind of like go through these two careers, kind of like environment and global connections, international relations. Kind of this is also because I think that we need more policies related to climate, relating to environment, and we need this from the governments. And yeah, I feel like sometimes a lot of the politicians now are putting all the things in our bag, and kind of that pressure, I think that is kind of what I want to study that. But I need to see a change. I want to see a change, and I want to be part of that change. So I think that is why this program helped me to understand what I want to do.
I often get asked by people, just because I get the pleasure to interview a lot of people, if I'm an optimist when it comes to climate change and solutions, and do I feel like we're headed in the right direction? And I think this episode is exactly why I am an optimist, is to hear two students really at this level, at this age, being able to put their heart and time into learning about this to be able to bring change. So I am much more optimistic after this conversation. So thank you both for joining, and keep up the good work. And we are cheering you on, and I'm sure you're going to be catalysts for change.
Thank you so much for having us on your podcast, Mark.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was
really
nice.
This is an amazing opportunity for us.
I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Someone Like You. And if you did, please share this. We're a new podcast, and I would love it if you could share it with a family member, friend, colleague, work colleague, share it on Slack, whoever you do, just share and spread the message of these incredible brands. And don't forget, subscribe to the platform of your choice and give us a rating and review. I'm Marco Pimentel. Thank you for joining us today. For more information on Someone Like You, you can find us on Instagram at Someone Like You Podcast, and there's links to our website, show notes, and more information on our guests.